welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's golden era. I'm your host, Mark Levanier. In this hour, sitcoms. We'll laugh along with the Smiths of Hollywood later in this hour, but right now it's The Adventures of Topper. First seen on the silver screen with Constance Bennett and Cary Grant playing two ghosts, bothering actor Roland Young, who is Cosmo Topper. The first picture in 1937 earned two Oscar nominations, and Roland Young would star in the radio series. We hear him next in this NBC broadcast from August 30th, 1945.
Topper! Oh, Topper!
Oh, Topper, darling! We're back.
Oh, dear, here we go again.
The Adventures of Topper, starring Roland Young. The Adventures of Topper is a new comedy series based on Thorne Smith's hilarious bestseller and is brought to you by the makers of those bubbly light crisper cornflakes, Post Toasties.
We toast them crisp, we toast them light. You can tell by the taste, we toast them. They're a tasty treat, so good to eat. Delicious and light from toasting. Post Toasties.
And you know what? We like them.
And now let's meet Topper.
Hello, my name is Cosmo Topper. I suppose some of you have a couple of friends who are considered nobodies. Well, I have a couple of friends who actually have nobodies. A pair of ghosts named George and Marion Kirby and the trouble they've caused me. If things continue as they are, they'll be the death of me yet. As a matter of fact, they nearly were last week. You see, last Saturday, I was in my bedroom packing when no people...
Cosmo! Oh, Cosmo, what are you doing? Packing?
Well, I have to go on a trip. Business trip, very urgent.
But, Cosmo, you know my mother is coming to pay us a visit today. This business trip must have come up very suddenly.
Did, Melvina, did, yes.
But I only told you my mother was coming last night. When did this trip become so urgent?
Last night.
Oh, Cosmo. Every time Mother comes to visit us, it seems you have to go away on a business trip. Mother's only going to be here for 2 weeks.
Well, I'll only be gone for 2 weeks.
Cosmo, you don't appreciate my mother. Why, she and Dad were always so fond of you. Right up to the time he died, Dad wanted to make you a partner in his business.
Yes, I know, Melvina.
And after he died, Mother wanted to give you his business.
I know, Melvina. She still wants to give me the business.
Cosmo, I know why you want to get out of town. You probably imagine that you're going to keep a rendezvous with those dead Kirbys.
Oh, no, Melvina, nothing like that.
Well, you can't deny that you still see them, Cosmo. Why, only last night you had another of those dreams of yours.
Did I, Melvina?
In your dreams, you used to complain that George Kirby annoyed you. Then Marion was kissing you. And last night, I distinctly heard you say something about Marion being on your lap.
Yes, Melvina, I guess my dreams are getting better all the time.
Well, it's about time you got that delusion out of your head, Cosmo. You know the Kirbys were buried a long time ago.
Yes, and they've been kicking dirt in my eyes ever since.
Well, let's not dwell on those dead Kirbys, Cosmo. We were talking about you going away. And you're not going.
But why can't I go, Melvina?
Well, because you've got a cold. I distinctly heard you sneeze.
But, Melvina, I didn't sneeze.
Well, I didn't, and there's no one else in this bedroom. Oh, there. Now, how do you explain that second sneeze?
Oh, well, maybe one good germ deserves another.
Oh, poor Cosmo, you are ill.
Really, Melvina, I didn't.
But another word out of you now, you're going straight to bed. Start undressing. Now, go on, get under the covers. And I'll bring you your hot water bottle.
Couldn't you bring me something else? I've been going to bed with a hot water bottle for years.
Cosmo, isn't it lucky Mother's coming? She'll nurse you back to health. You know what her nursing did for Father.
Yes, Melvina, but he would have died anyway.
Oh, dear Cosmo, get under those covers immediately. Now, go on. Give me your pants. Go on, the pants, Cosmo.
You want to wear this pair too, Melvina?
Now, when I come back, I want to see you under those covers.
George, Marion, just because you're invisible, you needn't think I don't know you're here.
Hello, Topper.
Hello, Topper.
All the dirty tricks you two have pulled, the sneezing act was the dirtiest. When you keep a man from escaping his mother-in-law, well, no wonder they call you low plain spirit.
Well, Topsy, we couldn't help it. George has a cold.
A bad cold.
Sir, the ghost of the cold, and I suppose if you had a body, every bone in it would ache.
Oh, Topper, this is no time for kidding. Even a ghost can catch cold, you know.
Suppose you got caught with your sheets down.
Oh. Oh, cut it out, will you, Topper? It's very simple. I was trying to get to heaven last night. Well, it's quite a climb. I got tired and decided to rest on one of those fluffy clouds. How should I know it was a rain cloud?
And that's the way you caught cold?
Don't let him hand you that. He got caught in a draft between two swinging doors.
Oh. What difference does it make now? I've got the chills. Come on, Topper, move over. Will you let me get in between those warm blankets?
Nothing doing. You made my bed, but I'm the only one who's going to lie in it.
Oh, Topsy, dear, how can you be so cruel? George is sick. He needs medical attention.
Sure, that's right. Topper, you're the only one we could come to.
George, I'm always the only one you can come to. Why don't you two stray spirits go back where you belong?
But, Topper, we can't get into heaven yet.
I was not pointing in that direction.
Oh. Well, all you have to do is let George share the bed with you, darling. And I'll be here to nurse the two of you.
Sure, Topper. Marion will be a regular Florence Nightingale.
Nightingale? I suppose that's her newest way of giving me the bird.
Don't be such an old sourpuss. Now, go on, move over.
Yeah, come on, will you? Come on. And don't hog all the blankets. Come on.
Well, comfy, George?
Oh, boy. Sure, Topper, sure. Oh, it isn't so bad with me in the same bed with you, is it? How do you feel?
Like a candidate for a mausoleum.
Now, stop that. There's no use in being dejected. The sooner George gets better, the sooner you'll get out of bed.
And how is George going to get better?
Oh, it's very simple. When you get treated, George gets treated. When you take medicine, George takes medicine. Whatever you get, George gets.
Really? Hand me the arsenic, will you?
Oh, Topper, cut it out.
Are you in bed?
Did you wake up? Now, remember, if she wants to give you any medicine, ask her for some more for George, and we'll do the rest.
Oh, Cosmo, you took my advice. Now, don't you feel better in bed? All warm and comfortable.
Yes, Melvina.
But, Cosmo, why are you so far over on the right? Why don't you get over more to the center of the bed?
Well, I hate to be a road hog, Melvina.
Oh, Cosmo, don't be silly. Oh, you poor dear. Oh, but don't you worry. I've got just the thing for you. Mother's favorite mixture. She's been enjoying this mixture for years.
With or without the olives?
Oh, don't be insulting. It's just a simple remedy of sulfur and yeast.
No, no, not sulfur and yeast, Melvin.
Now, open your mouth. There. That's right. I've just one teaspoonful for me.
Oh, that was bitter.
And now one teaspoonful for Uncle Harry.
No, Melvina, we're not going through all your relatives. I can't take any more of this, Melvina.
Don't you be selfish, Tom. You get some more of that medicine for George.
What was that?
I said leave the bottle on the night table. I may want some later.
Oh, you do like the medicine. How wonderful. You drink the whole bottle down right now. Here. Come on.
Help.
A little more now. Come on. Oh.
I'm drowning. Take that bottle away.
Oh, just a little more. Cosmo, you bit my fingers. You're getting violent. The fever must have gone to your head. Oh, I'll call the doctor immediately.
The doctor's arrived. I heard him talking to Melvina. It's a Dr. Blight.
Dr. Blight? You mean an old bone crusher?
Yeah, who is he? I don't want any old buzzard poking into my ectoplasm.
Let me remind you, my invisible friend, it's my body that's going to get the abuse.
George, stop bellyaching. Dr. Blight's one of the most expensive men in town.
It's Dr. Blight, all right. Just one of his massages means the difference between a spry young man and a tired old one.
Really, Topper? You mean you end a retired old man and in one treatment you leave a spry young man?
Not exactly, George. It's when you leave, you're the tired old man. He's not going to lay a hand on me. I'm going.
Oh, no, you can't run out on us now. If you do, George will never get medical attention.
I stay with that bone crusher. I'll need medical attention.
Hey, honey, I got an awful funny feeling. This cold's playing havoc with my ectoplasm. I feel as if I'm going to materialize.
But you can't materialize. Doc will be here in a minute.
I'm sorry, Top. I can't control it. Here I go. Well,
hate to say it, but you look better invisible.
He's in this room, Dr. Bly. Go right in.
George, get under the covers. Quick, hide.
Oh, Cosmo, dear. Now we're going to find out just what's wrong with you. Here's Dr. Bly to examine you.
Well, 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 well. And how are we today?
Well, fine. I mean, I'm fine.
Oh, Cosmo, what on earth are your feet doing out of the covers?
Your feet.
Cosmo, I never realized your feet were so large.
Well, the yeast went to my feet, Melvin.
Cosmo, pull those feet under the covers. Do you hear me?
I have to talk louder, Melvin. I guess my feet are asleep.
Oh, stop this nonsense and pull those feet in immediately.
Truth of the matter is, I can't control those feet.
Hmm, very interesting. You mean we can't walk on our feet, Mr. Topper?
Believe me, Doctor, I wish I could get those feet to take a walk.
Well, then let's take a look at our big feet.
No, you mustn't touch those feet. Besides, the cold is in my head.
Oh, head or feet, to me, there's no difference.
No. It'd be interesting to see you kiss your wife goodnight.
what you need, Mr. Topper, is one of my special deluxe treatments. It will raise Mr. Topper's temperature, raise Mr. Topper's blood pressure, raise Mr. Topper's circulation.
And lower Mr. Topper's bank account.
And now, are we ready for our first little exercise? It's very similar to artificial respiration. Now, just turn over, Mr. Topper, while I kneel on the side of the bed.
Must I, Doctor?
Turn over, Cosmo.
Oh, all right, Melvina.
Now. Let's get on with our little treatment. Now, I put my hands on the small of your back, and then I press down.
Doctor, not so hard.
Now we begin. And out goes the batter.
Oh.
In comes the good.
Batter. Oh.
In comes the good.
Oh.
Oh, my. What's the matter?
More bad air coming in than good.
Now, I'm sure this is doing us a lot of good, Mr. Topper. Why don't we try to breathe? Now, let me show us how. Like this.
Like this.
Yes. Just like this.
I can't. I'm not that sick.
Oh, now, here for our second step. Shall we try it, Mr. Topper? It's very strenuous. I have to work my fingers to the bone.
Yes, my bone.
Mr. Topper, this happens to be my famous bone treatment. Now, first we start with our legs. I grab our legs and then I bend them at our knees like this. Bad. Seems to me we detect the sound of creaking, Mr. Topper. Ah, well, no matter. A little more work and you know what will happen.
We'll detect the sound of breaking.
Cosmo, don't try to be funny. The doctor's only trying to help you.
Well, that's enough for the time being. Now we'll take our pulse and temperature.
Oh, thank goodness.
And if the results aren't good enough, we'll repeat the treatment immediately.
Oh, no.
Well, here we just see a pulse top. George will stick his hand out of the cupboard.
Now, here we are. Let's take this thermometer and put it in our mouth.
Hey, Topper, give it to me. I'll put it in my mouth while the doctor isn't looking.
And now for our pulse. Let me have your hand, Mr. Topper. My. Good heavens.
Oh, what's the matter, Doctor?
Why, heavens, there is no pulse.
Oh, what does that mean, Doctor?
It means the man is dead.
Oh!
Oh, here, let me see that thermometer.
Here it is, Doctor.
Oh, no. No, I don't believe it. He has no temperature at all. He's dead. He is dead.
Doctor, I'm talking to you.
Yes, I know. You're talking to me, but you're dead. Oh, no, what am I saying? Okay, you're dead and you're talking to me. Oh, I must be going crazy. Oh, let me out of here. I'm going to see a doctor.
Cosmo, there's something very peculiar about this. You may be dead to the doctor, but you'd better be alive when my mother gets here.
Topper, old man, thanks to you, I'm on my feet again. My cold seems all gone.
Oh, it does. If you ask me, all George needed was to sleep off his hangover.
I suppose George is put in the best of condition by the beating I took.
Topper, it put me right into the pink.
You even look in the pink. Now that you've recovered your health, why don't you two lovable spirits run off and leave me to the tender mercies of my mother-in-law?
Oh, but Topsy, we're not ungrateful. Now George and I are going to help you.
Sure, Topper. We have a great plan, a wonderful idea.
Oh, no, no, no more of your ideas. Your first idea put me in a sick bed. I suppose your next idea will put me in a coffin.
Why, Topsy, that is the idea. How'd you guess?
Oh, no, not a coffin.
But, Topper, it's so simple. If you want to get away from your mother-in-law, you'll have to get out of the house. And the doctor thinks you're dead, doesn't he? So you go out of the house in the coffin.
Well, how can I play dead?
Well, you could get stiff.
No, the whole plan isn't feasible. To be carried out in a coffin, you must have a death certificate.
We have taken care of that. When Dr. Blight was here, Marion just stole a death certificate right out of his bag.
She did? Now, there's a doctor who comes to his patients prepared. But I won't. I can't.
Oh, come on. Be reasonable, Topper. Mother-in-law is coming in a couple of hours. Melvin is blocking your way. You don't want to be stuck in this house for 2 weeks, do you?
Heaven forbid. Well, this plan might get me out of the house and...
And if Melvina thinks you're dead, maybe she'll appreciate you a little more in the future.
But, how am I going to convince Melvina that I'm dying?
You are going to play a deathbed scene. And at the end, we've arranged for your spirit to go to heaven.
My spirit to go to heaven? Aren't we carrying this plan a little too far?
Don't be silly, darling. George will be the spirit. And all you have to do is say, "Heaven is calling! There goes my spirit!" And that'll be George's cue to half materialize in a misty light.
Sure, that's it. Now, Topper, I've got to call the undertaker, but I'll be back in time for my cue.
Oh, Topsy. Topsy, this is going to be the greatest deathbed scene since Camille.
But, man, I hardly looked like Garbo, you know.
Now, darling, Melvina's in the next room. You go right ahead and call her. As if you were very, very ill.
I'll try. Melvina? Oh, Melvina, come quickly.
Oh, yes, Cosmo, I'm coming. What is it?
Oh, Melvina, I think the time has come.
Cosmo, what is it?
Melvina, I think I'm dying.
Oh, Cosmo, don't speak like that. How can you say you're dying? Exactly what part of your body hurts?
I don't know, Melvina. I'm dying all over.
Dear, maybe you'll feel better if I make you more comfortable. Now, I'll straighten your blanket. There. Cosmo. Cosmo, what is this piece of paper on your bed?
Paper? What paper?
Why, Cosmo, it's a death certificate. Your death certificate. Signed by Dr. Blight. Oh, but Cosmo, you're not dead yet.
Well, he was so sure, he probably left it in anticipation.
Oh, Cosmo, you mustn't die. Oh, you mustn't leave me. Oh, isn't there something I can do for you?
Alvina, you've done enough already. But I forgive you.
Oh, Cosmo, if you only wouldn't die. You could come and go just as you please.
Alvina, why didn't you tell me that 15 minutes ago?
And now you're leaving me, Cosmo. You're going far away. Far, far away.
I hadn't planned on going that far.
Oh, Cosmo, dear, in your last moments, are you thinking of me? What thoughts are running through your brain?
Well, I'm seeing my life pass before my eyes.
Oh, yes. Yes, Cosmo.
I'm seeing my carefree boyhood, my happy youth. And now, I'm getting married to you, Melvina.
Yes. Yes, what do you see now, Cosmo?
I've seen enough, Melvina.
Oh, Cosmo.
And now the time is getting short. Heaven is calling. There goes my spirit.
Oh, Cosmo, don't say that.
Heaven is calling. There goes my spirit.
Oh, Cosmo, this must be the moment.
Heaven is calling. There goes my spirit.
Dear, why do you repeat that?
I don't know what's holding up my spirit.
Well, George hasn't come back yet, Top. I guess I'll have to take a hand.
Oh, no, no, no.
Cosmo. Cosmo, what's happening? There seems to be a wisp of smoke above the bed.
No, Marion, no.
Oh, why, it's beginning to take form. Oh, that couldn't be your spirit, Cosmo. It's forming in the shape of a woman.
Maybe it's a messenger from heaven.
Why, the spirit is beckoning to you. The spirit is urging you to go with her. Oh, Cosmo, you're not leaving me.
Yes, Malvina, the spirit is willing and my flesh is weak.
Oh, Cosmo, come back! Cosmo, come back!
Bye, Malvina. Goodbye. Certainly was a great idea, convincing Malvina that I was dead. She'd been in her room wailing for the last half hour.
Oh, now, Topsy, stop fretting. You'll be out of here soon. You just leave everything to me.
Mary, you're invisible. What can you do?
Well, if that's all that's worrying you, I'll materialize right now. Topper, here I come. Now that you see me, do you think I'm capable of doing something?
Quite.
Topsy, dear, you just relax. I'm going to take care of you. And when the undertaker comes, I'm going to be right by your side as your nurse.
You're going to be right by my side, Marion?
Mm-hmm. Holding your hand and smoothing your brow while you play dead.
Death, where is thy sting?
Oh, Topsy, there's the undertaker.
All right, men. Take it easy with that coffin. Cost him a dime a dozen, but coffins are valuable.
Now, just Topsy, play dead.
Okay, lady. Where's your body?
It's right over there on the bed, Mr. Undertaker. I'm the nurse for the late Mr. Topper.
Oh, you're the... Hey, lady. Haven't I seen you someplace before?
No. No, of course not.
Are you sure we didn't bump into each other at a funeral?
You must be mistaken.
You know, that's funny. I could have sworn I buried somebody like you a couple of months ago. You know, never forget a good-looking corpse.
Mr. Undertaker, don't you think that you'd better get on with your job?
Oh, yeah, sure. Okay, okay. Well, where's the death certificate?
Certificate? Oh, the certificate. Now, what'd I do with it?
Here it is, right on the bed, Mr. Undertaker.
All right, thanks a lot, mister. Hey, wait a minute. I could have sworn I heard the corpse talk.
Now, you know that's nonsense. A corpse can't talk.
Listen, I know it, lady. You know it. But does the corpse know it?
Well, surely a man in your profession doesn't believe in spirits.
Confidentially, lady, sometimes I got my doubts that what I put under the ground stays under the ground.
Now, look, you're not trying to frighten me, are you?
Look, do a ghost scare you too, lady? You know, when that happens to a man in my business, it's time to retire. After all these dead people, it's such a pleasure to talk to a live, flesh and blood lady like you.
You two stop talking nonsense and get me out of this house before Malvina gets back.
Yeah. It's time to retire right now.
Oh, stop shaking like a dish of jello.
Mister, if a dead man spoke to you, you'd shake too. What am I saying?
But I'm not dead. You don't understand, Mr. Undertaker. This is all a trick to get me out of the house. Tell him I'm not dead, Marion.
You're not dead?
Well, of course he isn't dead. He doesn't look dead, does he?
Well, in his case, it's not a fair test.
Oh, don't be absurd. I'm as alive as you are. The only dead person in this room is Marion.
Marion?
Certainly. Me.
Please, lady, look. This is no time for joking.
Who's joking? I am dead.
And I'm alive.
You mean this gorgeous doll is dead and this dried-up little guy is alive? Oh, no, this is too confusing.
I'll tell you what, I'll let you in on a secret.
Yeah?
You worked at my funeral last year.
What's that?
My name is Marion Kirby. Isn't it, Topper?
Of course. Who else could you be?
No, I don't believe it.
You don't? Well, maybe this will convince you. Watch me while I dematerialize.
No, it all comes back to me now. Mister, does this window lead to the street?
Man, the undertaker jumped through the window. What'll we do now?
Oh, Topsy, there's Melvie.
Now we're trapped.
Jump into bed, quick.
But I tell you, Mr. Topper, I did not sign our death certificate. That's why I returned.
Oh, it doesn't matter, Doctor. Poor Cosmo. Oh, this terrible tragedy.
Oh, hello, Malvina.
Cosmo! We thought you departed for a better place.
That's what I was trying to do all day. But my spirit deserted me.
Oh, Cosmo, this is wonderful. A miracle's come to pass. Oh, Dr. Blythe, thank you, but we won't need you any longer.
Just a moment. Let us take a look at Mr. Topper, shall we?
We're not going through that again, are we?
Well, 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 Mr. Topper. Are we given to blushing?
Why, no.
Perhaps we just ate a sandwich with ketchup?
Of course not.
Then how do we feel?
Fine, in the pink.
Mm-hmm. You should be. You've got measles.
George didn't have a cold. He had measles, and I had to catch them.
Oh, well, Cosmo, you're very fortunate. Mother will be here any minute to nurse you.
Oh, heavens.
Ah, just a moment, Mrs. Topper. We won't be able to have any visitors. We'll have to be quarantined. No one comes in and no one goes out for 2 weeks.
But that means Mother won't be able to visit us?
Measles. Lovely measles. Why didn't I think of getting them before?
Oh.
The Adventures of Topper on Tuned to Yesterday, an NBC episode from August 30th, 1945. You're listening to an hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. And now time for the Smiths of Hollywood from Valentine's Day 1947, the sixth episode in this Mutual Broadcasting System series featuring Alan Hale, Harry Von Zell, Arthur Treacher, and Brenda Marshall.
From Hollywood, California, we bring you the Smiths of Hollywood as Nancy Smith, Brenda Marshall.
Bill, there's a census taker at the front door.
As little daughter Bumps, Jan Ford.
He came to the wrong house. Pop says everyone here has lost their senses.
As attorney at law Bill Smith, Harry Von Zell.
Would you listen to that daughter of mine? That'll teach me to shoot off my face.
Oh, is that what happened to your face, William? I thought you were born that way.
And that was Uncle Cecil from England, Sir Cecil Smythe, played by Arthur Treacher. Yes, it's the Smiths of Hollywood, with music by Charles Hathaway.
Hi. Anybody want an English uncle cheap? This morning at 3 o'clock, you could have had one for nothing. Have you ever been awakened in the middle of the night by some character pounding at the door and hiccuping with a British accent? Well, I have.
Oh, dear little buttercup, sweet little buttercup, open the door, William.
Well, don't break the door in. I'm coming. What? You. What brings you home so late?
A man in uniform.
Uncle Cecil, do you realize it's 3 o'clock in the morning?
It is? What are you doing out of bed at this hour, William? Insomnia?
Listen, the one night that I want to get some sleep.
Yes. Well,
you, what have you got to say for yourself?
How fortunate I'm not in England. It's noon tomorrow over there.
Getting me out of bed at 3 o'clock in the morning to let you in.
Oh, terribly sorry, William, terribly sorry. I just couldn't make this confounded key open the lock.
Yes, well, no wonder. It's a nail file. You should be ashamed of yourself coming home in this state.
What state did you expect me to come home in? South Dakota?
Will you go to bed now?
Yes, quite, quite. But first, William, my boy, there's something outside I should like to show you.
Believe me, I am not interested.
But I think you should be.
Very all right. I'll see it in the morning.
I guess you will. Well, I'm off to bed. Pleasant dreams, William.
Yes. Now listen, don't wake Bumps. Be quiet going upstairs.
I shall soar upstairs on wings of silence.
Yes. Okay, Birdman. Listen, Uncle Cecil, remember that landing after the fourth step.
Roger. Pilot and control, landing accomplished.
Oh, brother, that's what I call flying blind. Must think he's an English sparrow.
Well, sleep tight, Uncle Cecil.
Tight? Are you being humorous?
Oh, what was the noise I heard, darling?
Uncle Cecil, coming in on a wing and a prayer.
Well, why didn't you turn on the light for him?
Listen, dear, with the glow he has, he won't need a light.
Well, don't be such a cross patch. Get back in bed before you catch cold.
Isn't it awful? He's got to forget his key the night I'm dead tired, and I have a big case to plead tomorrow.
Oh, you'll go right back to sleep.
Bed sure feels good. Now, where was I in that dream?
Darling, could you open the window before you go back to sleep?
Oh, man's work is never done.
How about a glass of water for me as long as you're up, huh?
Oh, now, Nancy, are you really thirsty?
No, but I thought I might want some water later.
Fine. You want me to put a horse beside your bed in case you might want to play polo later?
Oh, don't be so cross. Good night, darling.
Good night.
Bill, are you asleep? Bill. Hey, Bill, darling. Bill. Bill!
No, Nancy. Well, what now? What's the matter?
Well, I just wanted to know if you were asleep.
Oh.
Bill. Bill, darling. Bill.
How am I supposed to sleep?
Oh, can't you sleep either, darling?
No.
Want to go down and scramble some eggs?
No, I don't want to go down and scramble some eggs. Nancy, I just want to go to sleep.
Well, why didn't you say so?
Oh.
All right. Good night, darling.
Good night. Nancy, are you cracking your knuckles?
Oh, that was someone knocking.
Knocking?
It sounded like the front door.
Oh, Gabriel's teeth. Who could it be at this time?
Well, maybe Uncle Cecil flew out of his window and wants in again.
Where did I put my dressing gown? Keep your shirt off!
Hey, you want me to answer it, dear?
Oh, fine. You want me to answer it, dear, after I'm halfway to the door? All right, I hear you. Wait a minute. I'll get you an axe. Hi, Duke.
What?
Oh, excuse me. I thought you was the Duke. Say, I bet my knocking rousted you out of bed.
Oh, no, no, partner. Had to get up and answer the door anyway.
That sure makes me feel a heap better. I'd sure hate to think I flushed anybody out of his feather bed so late. I only just wanted to borrow the Duke's alarm clock.
But the Duke, the alarm clock?
What? Yeah, Cecil, the Duke. I wanted to borrow the clock. When I'm tuckered out, I sleep sounder than a possum with a paunch full of persimmon pudding.
Yeah, well, look, Fred,
hate to bother the Duke after he was kind enough to let me park my trailer in his backyard.
I'm sorry, I think... Did you say there's a trailer parked in the front yard?
Yep. Sitting prettier than a powder pigeon perched on a porch pillar.
I don't know. Hey, there is a trailer in the yard. How'd that thing get there?
Oh, the Duke and I just jee-hawed and seesawed and ramrod her in. Why, it was as easy as taking money away from a veteran. Say. Say, you a veteran?
Well, what does that have to do with anything?
It sure helps when we meet a gent like the Duke. Don't treat us veterans like we was dadgum ducks to be dealt a dirty deal and plucked to our last puny pin feather. Who are you all?
Who am I all? Listen, it might interest you to know...
Say, hear that old rooster off yonder?
Yeah?
Say, doggone, what time is it?
It's 3:00.
3? Mister, you all sure a night owl, but I ain't. Listen, when you get up to fetch the Duke his breakfast victuals, would you mind you-hooing out to me? I gotta be to work early.
Well, now, listen to me, my good man. We can't have that trailer in our front yard.
I know. We'll move around the back tomorrow. By the way, here's a cigar. The missus just had twins.
Well, What?
Yep, twins. Gonna name them after the Duke. Cecil and Cecile.
Oh, no.
You can tell him that if I went to work before he stirs himself. Well, good night to you, neighbor. Good night, sleep sound. My name's Wordle.
My name's Mud. Good night.
Oh, quit brooding about that traitor and eat your breakfast, Bill.
Nancy, who can eat? It's bad enough to have him drag me out of bed at 3 o'clock in the morning, but he has to bring some guy to set up housekeeping in our front yard. With twins, to boot, twins.
Well, why didn't you talk to the man before he went off to work this morning?
Talk to the man? Wait till you try to talk to that guy. Getting a sentence in sideways against him is like trying to outjaw a jumble of jabbering jaybirds. Have a cigar, Mrs. Ed Quinn. Sitting pretty in a powder pigeon perched on a pork. Never heard of it.
Mom! Pop! Hey! There's a trailer park at our front lawn.
Oh, now there is the announcement we've been waiting for.
But where did it come from?
It followed Uncle Cecil home last night.
Oh, is that what you meant, Pop, when you said Uncle Cecil came home with a load?
Well, in a manner of speaking, yes. And speaking of loads, here comes our darling Uncle Weasel with the ruby-tinted nose now.
Please, William, please. I'm in no mood for drollery. Oh, my poor head. My poor head. Feels like I had it on upside down.
Oh, that explains those dark circles. They're your eyebrows.
So, His Highness the Duke is in no mood for drollery, eh?
William, I am not a duke. I'm a knight.
You are not a knight. You are a lost weekend.
Oh, dear. I say, does anyone have any aspirin, Hender?
Look, maybe you'd feel better if you had some scrambled eggs and pork sausages.
Pork sausages? Oh, what an utterly revolting notion. Please, please. Quiet is all I want.
Hey, Uncle Steve, where'd you get the trailer?
Trailer? What on earth are you prattling about, child?
Oh, I suppose you don't remember the veteran with the trailer.
I haven't the slightest idea. Veteran?
Yes.
Trailer?
Yes.
Oh, yes, the trailer! Yes, yes, yes.
The trailer.
Yes, yes, oh, the trailer, yes.
Uncle Cecil, there is a trailer parked in our front yard.
Yes, Uncle Cecil, and with twins.
With twins.
Can you fancy that, eh? Imagine having twins in your family.
Mm-hmm. Not half as bad as having somebody else's twins in your front yard.
Oh, but I say, old boy, you know, the poor chap has to have some place for the twins when they come out of the hospital.
But why does it have to be our front yard?
Oh, now, wait a minute, Bill. He's a veteran. Imagine, after months in a foxhole, coming home to live in a trailer.
It would sure be a break for all those poor guys who are sharing chicken coops with their mother-in-laws.
Yes. Chicken coops? Yes. Frightfully stuffy in there, I should think. Think of all the hen pecking.
Oh, look, of all the empty places there must be. Like that rich old spinster down the street, living all alone in a 15-room house. Now, you think she'd offer a room?
You mean gravel, Gertie? I'd sooner take the foxhole. You know, that woman has a face that would stop a sundial.
She could take a whole regiment in her place.
Yes, well, if you don't mind my interjection, none of this is solving the problem of the trailer, and we can't have them camping in our front yard.
But, William, Waffle's a delightful fella. A Yankee. From one of your big southern provinces. By the way, tell me, what do they mean by the expression, you can escape everything in life but death and Texas?
Well, at risk of being rude, I will ignore this plaintive request for information and patiently repeat, what are we going to do about that trailer?
Oh, no, William, no, no, my head. Please, William, don't shout.
Well, all right. Now, are you going to do something about that trailer or aren't you?
Oh, yes, by all means, yes. Just be quiet. Just be quiet until my head returns to its normal size. I'll take care of the trailer. I should have stood in Shropshire. England was never like this.
I honestly don't know, Bill. When I came home from the ladies' luncheon this afternoon, it was gone.
Well, it's certainly a relief. I had the blame thing on my mind all day. Had a witness on the stand and tried to make him admit he had passed a hot trailer instead of a bum check. It was very embarrassing.
Oh, you poor dear. Well, we don't have to worry about it anymore. I guess Uncle Cecil got rid of it all right.
Yeah. Now, if we could only get rid of Uncle Cecil, everything would be very
happy. Good evening, William, my dear nephew. Miss anything?
Uncle Cecil, where in the world have you been?
Where in the world have I been? Oh, India, Africa, Walla Walla.
Oh.
Oh, about every place except Boston. I've been banned there, you know.
Well, I'm not surprised. Will you try making sense now? What did you do with the trailer?
Never fear, William. You shall not hear another word of it. I have first... Oh, I say. Is that the phone? Is it, or is it my head still ringing?
Must be the phone. Don Amici could never invent a head like you've got this morning.
Mr. Smith? Attorney Smith?
Mrs. Smith speaking.
This is Miss Pennyworth. I wonder if I could consult you on a legal matter.
Why, certainly, certainly. Go right ahead.
Some dreadful hoodlum has parked a house trailer on my front lawn.
Oh, Uncle Cecil.
Ruined my lawn. It's right in the middle of my prized clover patch. It's sitting there like a
powder pigeon perched on a porch pillar?
What?
Well, never mind.
All my neighbors are laughing at me. Someone's going to pay for this. How much could I sue for?
Oh, sue. Do you know who to bring suit against?
No.
That's good. I tell you what, Miss Pennyworth, suppose we concentrate on moving the trailer off first. I'll send someone right over. Wait now. Cecil?
Dear Uncle Cecil?
William, put down that letter opener.
You dope. You fathead. Leaving that veteran's trailer in the middle of Mrs. Pennyworth's clover patch.
Yes, I'll wager that's the only veteran you know who's sitting in clover.
Well, they won't be in clover long. Now, you go over and move that trailer, and don't let her know you were the one who left it there, either. That woman would rather sue somebody than eat.
Oh, very well. I'm losing me appetite myself.
Radio?
Would it matter if I said I did mind?
And no one knows how the trailer came to be on Miss Pennyworth's lawn. Miss Pennyworth intends to sue. But sue who? It would seem that this is a trailer-made suit.
Oh, what a foul sense of humor.
Now for more news. In England today, the Snail Watchers Society decided...
Dread it, child. Leave that wireless on. I wanted to hear about the Snail Watchers. You know, I used to go in for snail watching myself.
I'll bet you were the champion, too.
No, but I was the watcher-up.
Oh, there's Miss Pennyworth's house.
Yes, and there's the old biddy herself. What a devastating personality.
Hey, you're driving right up on her lawn.
Well, I have to hitch onto that confounded contraption.
Here you! Don't you run over my daisies.
And get your daisies out of the road, madam.
The idea of driving up on my lawn.
Well, how do you propose to remove the trailer? By coaxing it off with a biscuit?
You must be the man Mr. Smith sent over. Well, hurry up and hitch your car onto this ugly monstrosity.
Ugly monstrosity? Would you like the rope around your neck, madam?
Oh, of all the impudence.
Easy, old girl. You live longer in case any of the museums are interested. Bumps, help me hook this trailer to the car, dear.
It's going to be awful hard to back out between those trees.
Yes, I see what you mean. Well, I'll get in the car and you direct me.
Be careful. Don't bark up my apple tree.
Bark up your apple tree? What do you think I am, a Saint Bernard? Are you ready, Bumps?
Roger. Grab the wheels, Uncle Steve.
This way?
No, the other way.
This way, you mean?
No, the other way!
Make up your minds!
Oh, now you've done it. It's wedged between between those trees.
I say there's quite an art to backing up a trailer, isn't there?
Obviously, you're not very artistic. You can't leave this trailer. Move it away.
My dear Miss Pennyworth, perhaps you would like to try backing it out.
Well, I could certainly do better than you did.
I'm sure of it. Here are the car keys.
All right, I'll show you. No truck driver can do anything I can't do.
Really? Do you want to bet?
Doesn't take brains to back a car.
Then you may succeed. I'll stand in front here and direct you. Steady now. I said, old girl, in reverse.
Uncle Thief, watch out. She's coming frontward.
I say, careful now. Help! Oh!
Stop! Stop! You knocked Uncle Thief go down. Uncle Thief, Uncle Thief, are you hurt?
Oh, oh. The British consulate shall hear of this.
Oh, you brute, get up from there. You're sprawling on my rose bushes.
Madam, don't you touch me. I warn you, Parliament will never stand for this treatment.
You get off my property or you'll be one son of the British Empire that gets sat on. Now, scat!
My word, what a temper. Come on, Bumps, let's be off before the old biddy does us both in.
Hey, Nancy, is he all right?
Well, I put him to bed. I wanted to call a doctor, but he wouldn't let me.
Why not?
Well, he said it would be an unnecessary expense for us.
Uncle Cease is worried about our expense? He's in bad shape. No, who is that at the door? I'll get it.
Now, don't give me no fast talk, neighbor. Where's my trailer?
Yeah, oh, it's you.
Well, who all'd you expect? Mrs. Noosebaum?
Now, you see here, my good man. You can't come into my house this way.
Never mind that. Where's my trailer?
Oh, I think we can explain everything, Mr. Wirtle.
Ma'am, since I got out of the Army, I ain't heard nothing but explanations. Well, right now, I ain't in no mood for nothing but my trailer. It was here when I left this morning, and now it's gone.
No,
I suspected that phony Duke right from the beginning.
But
I reckon he made off with my trailer.
No, he didn't.
And it was a-sitting right here, pretty as a powder pigeon perched on a...
All right, all right. Powder... That's enough. You parked your trailer on our front lawn. Do you know the law concerning trespassing on other people's property?
Oh, there you are, Miss Smith. You listen to me. That trailer is still parked on my property, and you're responsible for the damage done by that oaf you
sent
over.
Just a minute.
And I am.
Miss Pennyworth, as a matter of fact, I'm very happy that you dropped over. I'd like to have a word with you. Would you excuse us for a moment, Mr. Wirtle?
Well, okay, but don't you all try no monkey business. Just remember... The eyes of Texas are upon you.
Yes, to be sure. Now, if you'll just step this way, Miss Pennyworth.
Oh, the poor soul.
Yes.
I had no idea, really. Will he live?
That, madam, is a question beyond our ken. I have been badly mangled. I feel like an old Notre Dame football at the end of the season.
Of course, you realize, Miss Pennyworth, a court of law would hold you responsible for this poor man's condition.
A court of law?
Yes.
But you wouldn't,
wouldn't we?
You couldn't.
Couldn't we? William, you're a barrister. Explain to the old biddy the letter of the law, will you?
Oh, what can I do?
Well, my dear, it just so happens that we have a friend who is in need of lodging quarters, and you have plenty of room.
And give up my privacy? Oh, I simply couldn't do that.
William!
Yes, Uncle Cease. Dear Uncle Cease, what is it?
My leg.
Yes.
The one on the right. I'm sure they will have to amputate it. How much will we get for that?
Loss of a limb?
Yeah.
Well, I would say a minimum of around $50,000.
Oh, dear, $50,000. Well, perhaps your friend could have the little apartment over my garage.
Good, 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 good. Now, just sign this paper right here, Miss Pennyworth, and we'll take care of the entire matter.
Yes, just give me a pen.
Here you are.
Yeah, thank you. They can move in tomorrow,
good,
and
good.
I do hope you will recover, Sir Cecil.
My dear woman, I shall do my very best for your sake. Farewell.
Well, we found a home for the Wirtles. We can be thankful for that.
Yeah.
But I'm worried about poor Uncle Cecil.
Me too. Poor guy. We'd better run up and see how he is.
Gee, I can't understand why he won't let us call a doctor.
Yeah. Shh. Here's his room. I won't knock. He's liable to be asleep. I'll just peek in. Uncle Cecil, dressed up and out of bed.
I say, what? Oh, yes, yes. Compounded, yes. You know, you people over here in the colonies seem to knock everything except doors.
Why, Uncle Cecil, why aren't you in bed?
Yes, you're supposed to be run over.
No, no, not run over, dear William, just hungover.
Oh, you old faker, you weren't hurt at all.
No, no, my dear, but I did need a rest. I say, William.
Yes, Uncle Cecil?
How could a person go about losing a leg without too much trouble? You know, 50,000 is quite a bounty. You know, it's a pity I'm not a centipede.
Oh, Uncle Cecil.
The Smiths of Hollywood, on Tuned to Yesterday from February 14, 1947, on the Mutual Broadcasting System. And that wraps this hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's yesteryear. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVanier. It's been a pleasure.